Chapter 2. Exercising Self-Control. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Everyone boils at different temperatures. We all lose our cool at different degrees. One of the major challenges we face, and the downfall of many who possess great potential, is the tendency to boil over too quickly. The Bible intimates that in the last days, the tendency to be angry will intensify and increase to such a magnitude that even whole nations will become angry. Seeing the future through prophetic eyes, the Apostle John said, "The nations were angry." Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. Anyone who's going to experience effective relationship, whether in marriage, with friends, in ministry, or any other situation, must be able to control the tendency to quickly boil over in anger. The Word of God says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly." Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17. "Let every man be slow to get angry." James chapter 1, verse 19. Bible in Basic English. "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. While the combination of a warlike courage and a slow temper may well be found in one person, if a person were to possess only one of these virtues, the better one by far, according to the scripture, would be a slow temper. The Word of God makes it abundantly clear that he who is slow to anger manifests great self-control and is better than the one who has enough courage and wits to capture an entire city. In Bible times, men of slow temper were not held in high esteem. However, in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, the Word of God reversed the estimate that was usually held regarding men of slow temper over against militant warriors who had enough valor to take an entire city. The Bible says, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty." The man who controls his temper actually displays greater wisdom and strength. God alone knows how much destruction would not have been wrought, how many wars would not have been fought, and how many families and sweet friendships would have continued to flourish if more self-control were exercised. For many, it is much easier to subdue the enemy without than to subdue the enemy within. History is littered with the records of many great men who were able to conquer nations and vast territories, but yet were unable to conquer their own passions. When it comes to military genius, the annals of history places Alexander the Great in a class all by himself. At 32 years of age, he had already conquered the world and then bowed down and wept copiously because there was nothing left for him to conquer. He died at 33 years of age. History tells us that notwithstanding his military genius, he was a slave to intemperate anger. He conquered the world but could not conquer himself. In one of his fits of rage, he slew Clitus, his most intimate friend. The truth is that self-conquest is nobler than conquering others. The overall point, in sync with the revelation of Scripture, is that the man who makes peace and controls his temper must exercise nobler and deeper thoughts and display greater wisdom than the astute militant warrior. The misdemeanor of Moses. Anger is no respecter of persons, whether mighty or small. Everyone must guard against it. Anger led to the fall of the eminent and renowned Old Testament figure named Moses. Moses spoke with God face to face and as friend to friend. Moses conquered many formidable enemies, yet he fell to the subtle tendency of boiling over too quickly. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, 'Why are you striking your companion?' Then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. In his earlier days, in anger, Moses murdered an Egyptian and consequently had to run for his life. Again, when he returned from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and saw the sin of the children of Israel, his anger became so hot that he broke the two tablets of stone, upon which God himself had written the Ten Commandments. The Bible says, "So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing." So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Exodus chapter 32, verse 19. The Bible says Moses' anger became hot. He boiled over quickly, and in the eruption of his anger, he destroyed the Decalogue. When the heat cooled down, Moses sought and acquired new stone and rewrote the Decalogue. He could have spared the time and effort if he had a more temperate spirit. And what a treasure it would have been had the original copies, written by God himself, were preserved. Again, later in his life, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, Moses became angry and spoke words that he should not have spoken. The Bible says, "Because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips." Psalm chapter 106, verse 33. What was it that Moses unadvisedly said? Basically, only two words got him into serious trouble with God. The Bible says, "And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, 'Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?'" Numbers chapter 20, verse 10. In his anger, Moses referred to the people of God as rebels, and that was bad enough in the sight of God. Not only did he speak in anger, but worse than that, in anger and unbelief, he smote the rock a second time. The folly of such action becomes magnified when one understands that the rock was a type of Christ. The Bible says, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Since Christ must be smitten only once, yet in his anger, Moses smote the rock twice. He got into double trouble with God. He got into trouble with God because he called the people rebels and distorted a great Old Testament's typology. The scripture records God's response to Moses' action. "This is because both of you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin, and because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. Therefore, you will see the land only from a distance. You will not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel." Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 51 through 52 in the New International Version. God said to Moses, "You will only see the land from a distance, but you will not enter the land because you broke faith with me and did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites." What a lesson for us today. The lesson for us to learn here is that through anger, one tends to make judgment and take action. That more often than not, displeases God and puts one in serious trouble. Today, all God's people, whether in the fivefold ministry or not, must guard against speaking words in anger, be it to your spouse, your children, or any brother or sister in Christ. The Word of God speaks repeatedly on this. Consider the following references. "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Psalm chapter 37, verse 8. "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' empty-headed, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hell fire." Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, the New International Version. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Moses smote the rock a second time, when he should have spoken to it, and he spoke unadvisedly to God's people. Consequently, he was not permitted by God to enter the promised land. He was only allowed to see it from afar, but not to possess it. Many fail to possess what they have seen. They fail to accomplish the vision God has given to them because of an intemperate and uncontrolled spirit. Many will fail to make it to heaven because of a lack of self-control in key areas of their lives. It has been rightly said, "No chain stronger than its weakest link." In order to go beyond seeing to possessing, you must exercise self-control. You must be able to overcome anger. The folly of anger. Anger has deceived many a mighty man of God and many people because they refuse to see it for what it truly is, a deadly vice. One moment of anger can do a whole lot of damage. How we need to learn from Moses' story. The truth is that whosoever gives into anger quickly displays folly. The Word of God is emphatic about the folly of a hothead and an angry spirit. The Bible says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly." Proverbs chapter 14, verse 17. "He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly." Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. "A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame." Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. "Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20. "For wrath kills a foolish man." Job chapter 5, verse 2. "Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools." Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. The Bible says, "Anger resides in the bosom of fools." If you are quick to boil over, the Bible explicitly and unequivocally calls you a fool. The truth is, if you are prone to blow up, you won't grow up. Your anger will limit your progress. Anger is folly, because for the most part, the consequence of anger is greater than the cause. Moreover, it is said that to be soon angry is to be in the habit of revenging the faults of others on oneself. Some call anger momentary madness. As a matter of fact, the word mad is commonly used as a synonym for anger. People usually describe their anger in this way: "I lost my mind," "I went crazy," or "I became mad." Often enough, that is exactly what happens, and there is no telling what mad people would do to themselves and others at any given point in time. We live in an age where there is a proliferation of unconfined madmen and women. There are many suicide bombers out there, wrapped in the ultimate explosive of anger. It is probably not by chance that anger is only one letter short of danger. How to overcome anger. But how can one overcome this besetting and nagging problem of anger? I am convinced that one of the most effective ways to deal with anger is for one to wake up and see it for what it is. See it as God sees it. See it as the Bible reveals, as a debilitating and destructive characteristic. Search the Word of God and see what it predominantly says about anger. Realize that anger is the blight that hinders your blessing. Only when you accurately see it for what it truly is would you come to yourself like the prodigal son and realize you are too important to live on such a low plane. You would come to the place where the only thing you would want to be angry with is your own anger. Too many are in love with their anger. They don't want to give it up because they love it. They enjoy it when they blow up ever so often. They are addicted to getting vexed. It may sound strange, but it is true. It does not surprise me that Daniel Webster was a successful man and his name a household name. For it was he who said, "Keep cool. Anger is not an argument." Many have forfeited their progress through anger. Indeed, the tendency to be soon angry is a foolish temperament and a self-defeating inclination. Those who are quick to fly into rage usually find it difficult to land, without doing damage to themselves and others. Yes, it is true that the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not," Ephesians 4, chapter 26. However, the kind of anger the Bible is advocating is the anger that is like a fire extinguisher in a building. It is designed to put out fire and not to make fire. It is used infrequently, only in times when it is absolutely necessary. It is used in times of emergency and then returned to its position, and may not be used again in a very long time. If you are always giving somebody a piece of your mind, it is only self-evident that you don't have much. To be sure, we all do boil at different temperatures. However, it is truly said, the emptier the pot, the sooner it boils. Before you say to yourself, "I don't have a problem with anger," wait! Anger can also be silent. Some people blow up, whereas others pent up. To pent up is to blow up on the inside as opposed to the outside. In other words, it is silent rage, or to become bitter, which is even more deadly, and will be treated separately in this book.